relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the images from the southern border?
Get it under control.
Get it under control, or you have it under control?
We will get it under control.
Do you have it under control? We will get it under control. Welcome, dear friends. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board. Yes, Biden, I'm still a member. Just try and fire me. I'll see you into the ground. We'll have some fun. He says we'll get it under control. Really? But I thought it was under control. I thought you had fixed everything we had, quote-unquote, destroyed in our border regime. Alejandro Mayorkas said it is a lie that the border is open. Oh, really? What about the footage? Not just the Fox drone footage from Del Rio and that bridge with 15,000 illegal immigrants under it. But this footage from Todd Benzman, senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, that he filmed in Del Rio. 9,000 Haitians. 9,000. So you've got it under control, or it's not a problem, or you'll get it in control. I just listened to the news seconds ago before I walked into the studio. There are now at least 9,000 illegal immigrants left under the bridge because what? What's happening? As Todd told us yesterday, quietly, under the cover of night, with every bus you can impound, every local school district bus that you can sequester, you're scooping up the illegal immigrants. You're, quote-unquote, processing them at DHS facilities or army bases without checking them for COVID, without vaccinating them like everybody else has to, and you're shipping them out across America. Is that your idea of fixing it, of getting control of it? In that report I was listening to, God bless Dan Scavino, that's the footage we're showing right now, that's President Trump's social media expert, the guy who's with him every single day, buddy of mine. God bless you, Dan, for that footage, for Ted Cruz showing. I mean, it looks like a third world country. They're turning America into Haiti because of Biden. And I just heard of the 9,000 wretched people there. There are more than 300 pregnant women. Pregnant women living under a bridge? Protecting themselves with reeds and foliage in a makeshift shanty town in America? This is where it ends. This is where anyone who voted Democrat has to just wake up. This is abuse of our fellow man. Forget national sovereignty or national security or how ISIS, ISIS-K, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and whoever else is exploiting the fact that we are open. The front door to America. It's not that the front door's open. There is no door. The door has been taken off the hinges. Forget about that. Forget about the next 9/11. You heard him. One of the most sober, professional people on national security in this stinking, fetid city. Regular guest every Friday, Jim Carafano, said it right here after the fall of Kabul. After the surrender. He called it a surrender. It's not a withdrawal. It's a retreat. Contact with the enemy, then you pull out. That's a retreat. That's a surrender. Jim said, because of this administration, there will be more 9/11s. And they will be bigger than the first one. And that's on you if you voted for Biden. But if you can live in that bizarro world where we could just put that to the side for a second, the fact that there'll be more 9/11s and they'll be bigger, just the institutional abuse of our fellow man, including pregnant women. There's the fake news industrial complex is literally generating, creating propaganda right now of, you know, the Customs and Border Patrol officers on their horses whipping those black Haitians with cretins, morons, like Chris Cuomo talking about the way they're whipping them with their riding crops. Oh, yes, the DHS-issued riding crops? What is this? What insane parallel universe do you live in, you moron? Oh, you mean the reins by which he turns the horse? That's now a riding crop that he's whipping people with? You bloody lie. You Goebbels-level propagandist. If you ever vote for Democrats in the near future, after what you are witnessing right now in the southern border in Del Rio, then you are as heartless and soulless as the people who have actually made it possible, like Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas and all the people in the White House who simply for political reasons, so they can win every election in the future with people they amnesty in the infrastructure bill. Yes! Yes! They want to give American citizenship. It's not just gerrymandering the votes because the size of a congressional district depends upon how many people live in it, not how many citizens, how many illegals plus citizens live in it. It's not just about that. They think they can buy the votes of every Haitian, every Mexican, every Guatemalan, every Angolan. Yes, an Angolan. That's who Todd Benzman spoke to in Del Rio. What has this got to do with equity? Nothing. Because the equity of a stick, Todd told us, the stench, just the stench of the human sewage, the effluence under that bridge where 15,000 people are camping out before they're shipped off in the dead of night by the Biden administration. Just those conditions. That's on you if you voted for Biden. If you're a never Trumper, ooh, the tweets were so mean, and you stayed home instead of voting for my old boss, guess what? That human suffering is on you. It's on your soul. And what are you going to do about it? We secured the border. Forget about the images, if you can. Forget about the national security. How about the left-wing organizations? How about the globalists, like the United Nations, Human Rights Watch, saying that 60 to 80% of the women and girls trafficked across the border are sexually abused or raped. That's on you. We practically shut down the border with our Title 42 powers under the last administration of a public health emergency. The illegal crossings dwindled to a trickle. And now, in this calendar year, it will be 2 million human beings. Pregnant women under that bridge. They don't care. They just don't care. Because they're wicked. Wicked and evil. If you didn't vote for him, good. If you voted for President Trump, what are you doing to make sure they don't steal the next election and that we get him back in office? Have you volunteered? Are you running for local office? Are you helping somebody else who is? Are you putting pressure on your state legislatures to make sure that they don't allow the election to be stolen again? For the sake of humanity, get involved. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next up, freedom fighter par excellence, Devin Nunes. We are coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've found relief nowhere else, you must try this amazing drug-free product that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country from their pain, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Alicia from California. This is Alicia's story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees were not getting a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. What a story. That should be your story. It could be your story. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Failure to enforce laws that exist in the United States leads to chaos, and chaos leads to inhumanity. The Biden administration is a man-made disaster of inhumanity of epic proportions.
A man-made disaster of inhumanity of epic proportions. That was the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, just moments ago before we started the show. I'm very excited to welcome our first guest here on America First, a freedom fighter par excellence on Capitol Hill, former chairman of the Intelligence Committee, representing California's 22nd district, Congressman Devin Nunes. Welcome back to America First.
Seabass, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. My friends call me Seabass. Don't ask why. It's a special reason. We've got to talk about Durham. We've got to talk about the only indictment to come out after almost 2 years. But first things first, your reaction to the tragic footage coming out of the Haitians under the bridge in Del Rio. And then today, what happened? Now at the UN, as he's leaving, Biden says, we're going to get it under control. I thought they fixed the border that we broke in the Trump administration, Congressman.
Well, like always, they're obfuscating and they're hoping that the press covers them. I mean, the challenge that they have now is it's becoming impossible because there's so many people at the border. Remember, you've got the Del Rio crossing where the Haitians are, but you still have multiple other crossings where there's thousands of people a day that are coming across. I was just down there a couple months ago. It just never stops, because the Biden administration changed the rules on where you can apply and how you can apply for asylum. That's all that's going on here. So I would like to know how these Haitians all arrived here. It has to be that they paid money to the drug cartels. Yeah. So essentially what you have is you have the drug cartels running people into the United States of America, where this is now a money-making scheme. And I say that not to go into something. This was the California border, but just a month ago or so, I was down there and I ran into people and I thought they spoke Spanish. And then I realized they didn't speak Spanish at all. It was because the cartels had brought them from Romania, of all places, a
wow.
family. So this is now Mexican drug cartels running a money-making operation, and the Biden administration refuses to do anything about it. So guess what? The more money that can be made, the more you will get of it. And so the cartels, I'm sure, are running boats and planes as we speak, just plugging the pipeline and putting money in their pocket.
What do you think of the idea that Republican governors along the border should simply deploy their National Guard elements?
Well, look, they already have. Down in Texas, they already have to some degree. I mean, you can bet that in California and New Mexico, they will not do that because they're blue states run by left-wing governors. But the governor of Texas, as I understand, is doing everything he can within the law. When I was down there, they were putting people down there, and the Texas Rangers were down there. But look, you know, the state of Texas is a big state, but it's really hard for them to secure the border. I mean, it's hard to secure the border at all, and I think that's why you're seeing the state of Texas move to finish the wall, which, you know, at least if you finish the wall, it's not 100% cure. But it does allow the Border Patrol that's down there to focus on the problem areas and really target the drug cartels. But look, until you change the laws back to the way they were and implement that you can't apply for asylum in the United States, there's too much money in this.
Right.
You have people paying anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 per person to get delivered to the border to claim asylum.
Yeah. Just moments ago, Governor Abbott said that Texas is arresting anybody who trespasses on private as well as public land. But, of course, it is a manpower issue. Follow this man, Nunes.house.gov, on Twitter, at Devin Nunes, and check out the incredible movie made about his fight for the truth on the Russia collusion hoax. It's Plot Against the President. That's PATPmovie.com. That's Plot Against the President, based upon the superb book by the same name, written by Lee Smith. I have to ask you, since the news broke after we last spoke, is this arrest of some lawyer nobody's heard of before who lied to the FBI about the PP dossier, the sources for that opposition research? Does this mean anything, or is this just John Durham with a little fig leaf to show us that he did something in the last 2 years?
Well, as you know, we've talked about this a lot on your show, Dr. Gorkova. I am the one who has been actually very supportive of Durham. I have thought for a long time that the fact that there are no leaks coming out, I thought this was a good sign. And I would say this, that Sussman was a target of our investigation. And in fact, in that 27-page indictment, which if you haven't read it, it's really worth reading because it's much different than what you see for lying to the FBI indictments. Typically, they're pretty short, and it's when you've been interviewed by the FBI. This is totally different, and there's so much in that indictment that a lot of folks that cover the Russia hoax closely have discovered new information. Now, we always knew that the way this was working, this was a laundering type of operation by the Clinton campaign where they use lawyers to launder money and hire people so that they can go do nefarious things. Now, look, all campaigns, you know, throughout history have all done this. That's no secret. But the difference here is that they went to feed this into their buddies at the FBI. And that, so Sussman, in a lot of ways, is the traffic cop. He was the one that was ordered to do it. So now the question is anyone in the campaign, is Sussman going to say, I just did it? Or ultimately, when put under oath and interviewed, is he going to say, well, it wasn't me, I was told to do it? And that really is the question. So, you know, he talked big in court last week. Let's see what he actually says when he has to testify.
But given that the only other indictment so far was a low-level FBI lawyer who forged a CIA document to obtain the FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page, he didn't spill the beans on anybody. And there's no way a low-level FBI lawyer forged a CIA document without being ordered to by Comey or Brennan. So do you have hope that we will actually pull a thread here?
Yeah, I think two different issues. I think with the low-level lawyer, that was really a cut-and-dried case. I thought he got off way too easy in terms of his sentencing because it was like 6 months or something, and he clearly had doctored evidence, and he pled guilty to that. This is much different because this is right at the heart of how this, remember how this goes. The Clinton campaign gives it to a law firm and gets information to Fusion GPS, the other Clinton operation, and they're all feeding this into the FBI. That is the beginning of this of the Russia hoax,
right?
And the P tape and everything else that you mentioned. So now the question is, if you read that 27-page indictment, it really lays out a conspiracy, and conspiracy is the major crime that's been committed here. They conspired to break numerous federal laws, and you know, can you nail down? I don't believe for a second that people within the FBI and the Department of Justice didn't know that this was a Clinton campaign operation, and there really was no evidence. And in fact, in that 27-page indictment, we know that that the FBI knew shortly after that this was totally bogus, and we've known that for a long time. So I guess the answer is we don't know yet, but I think this 27-page indictment was a major step in the right direction because, look, it's the first time. The Nunes report and the Nunes memo and all that, they can say, oh, they can go after me and attack me. They can say that, oh, well, the Inspector General Horowitz report, well, that was just a report,
now,
and at the end, nothing happened. But now
we have
a 27-page indictment.
We're going to post it right now. Educate yourself, read the indictment, and follow this man, Devin Nunes. God bless you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It's a disturbing result for those who believe in classic values of liberalism in the old term, the old sense of the term, or conservatism with a small c. But it looks like Justin Trudeau is safe as a result of the snap elections. Let's find out what's really going on from our regular guest, author of A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, co-host of the Scholars and Sense podcast, along with our friend Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett. Lord Conrad Black, welcome back to America First.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Glad to be with you.
Lord Black, why was a snap election held up north, and what can you tell us about Trudeau's position now?
He called the election, although, as you said, he was in no danger in Parliament. He had a minority government, but in a four-party Parliament, you really have to be seriously incompetent to get all three of the others to vote against you, and he was not in danger of that. So he called it because he felt that he had done a brilliant job of fighting the coronavirus crisis, the pandemic, and that he could exploit this to extend his term, restore his majority, and take a sharp turn to the left with all his, to put it in American parlance, semi-Green New Deal, hair-brained ideas. And so he called an unnecessary election to get a majority, and he came back approximately exactly where he was. So it was a fiasco. On the other hand, it didn't look like as great a fiasco as it really is, because for a time it looked like he might actually lose. And the leader of the opposition, O'Toole, ran what looked at times like a fairly effective campaign, but it faded in the end. And he last night, desperately trying to hang on to his job, effectively claimed a victory, which he didn't score. I mean, the Conservatives actually lost a couple of MPs. So we have all five parties back almost exactly where they were before. There was no point to the election. Trudeau didn't get his majority, doesn't have the mandate he wanted to go where the country doesn't want to go. But the leader of the opposition looks like a sort of belligerent blowhard clinging to his job and pretending that he's won a victory, which he hasn't. Everybody lost, and the country lost. We have basically five party leaders, and the only one of them who looks like he could be the leader of a G7 country is the Quebec separatist leader, Blanchet, who's actually a pretty good leader. But he's a separatist. He has no business being in a federal election.
Well, it doesn't seem to have dampened, semi-Green New Deal aspirations. We played this cut in the last hour. It's so shocking for me to hear this from a quote-unquote statesman that I wish to play it again. This is Justin Trudeau justifying the existence of our intra-Canadian vaccine passports. Cut 7.
We're paying for the provincial vaccine passports to make sure that when someone comes into a restaurant, they'll know they won't be sitting beside a table of people who are unvaccinated. When you go into a gym, when you go to a movie theater, you need to know that if you've done the right things, you get to be safe. You get to be rewarded for having done the right things. That's what it's all about. And those people who still hesitate, who still resist, well, they won't get to enjoy the same things that those who've done their part for others.
Does this resonate with a broad swath of Canadians, the idea that the government makes the decisions as to whether or not you should be rewarded as a citizen, Lord Black?
Not really, though the revulsion against it is not as great as it is in the United States. In Canada, there's an equal attachment to the concept of liberty, but a greater respect for the idea that at a certain point, the government does have a right to indicate where the general national interest would indicate people should how they should behave. You see it in guns, for example. There never has been in this country a constitutional right to bear arms. Lots of people obviously have guns for different reasons, but they're much more tightly restricted here. And Canadians don't really object to that because they don't have that tradition. But they don't have the same sociological problems. They don't have the same crime rates either, as the United States. But so there is a revulsion amongst a substantial number of people. The government has no business telling us what to do as meticulously as that. And particularly that terribly pompous, school teacherish manner in which Justin said it in the bit you just played of, you know, if you are good, we will reward you. And if you aren't good, you will not have the same privileges as those who are good. I mean, it's just so outrageous. And that that does undoubtedly gall a great many people. I mean, keep in mind, we have a funny system here. The Conservatives, for the second straight time, lost the election and won the popular vote. Now, this is an unusual thing in the U.S. It happens, yes, of course, sometimes, but it's only been six times in American history and for a president. In other parliamentary systems, I mean, Mr. Churchill ran three elections against Mr. Attlee, and he lost the popular vote each time, but he did win the last election. But that can happen in the parliamentary system. But so the answer to your question is Canadians don't respond as vigorously as Americans to that kind of thing. But in general, they don't like it. I mean, they don't want to be treated like children, and certainly not by the likes of Justin. He's not a great moral authority of a leader. He's just a sort of pretty face with a famous name, you know. I mean, he's a very nice man. I want to be clear. He's a very nice man. But I personally don't think he's been a good prime minister. But he's a nice man, and he's very presentable, you know, good-looking, well-spoken man with an attractive young family. And, of course, his father was a very famous man.
Right.
So he's not a bad person. He's essentially an incompetent prime minister.
Unfortunately
for him, he has incompetent leaders of the opposition.
Lord Black, you are in a truly unique position. And given the fact that not only are you a presidential historian of note, a peer in the British House of Lords, a former media mogul across the Atlantic, in Australia as well. Let me ask you, your reaction in the correct historic context to what we are witnessing in Canada, in the UK, in Australia, in America. There's a video I just saw 2 days ago of a woman who is being accosted on her doorstep by the police in Australia. Why? Because on social media, she said, come and protest the lockdowns tomorrow. I mean, just you know, what we are supposed to be able to do in any kind of republic or constitutional monarchy. Have you ever seen the like spanning the various regions of the Commonwealth and the United States?
No, I have not. I've never seen such incompetent government in the United States. The American political society is in disgrace. It'll arrest that and rebuild itself. But I've never seen such a shambles in American government in every field. This horrifying shambles in Afghanistan. Don't worry, says the president. We still have over the horizon influence, whereupon they kill 10 innocent people, including 7 children. I mean, I all kinds of things. I mean, 200,000 people a month pouring in over the southern border. That's never happened. None of it has happened before that I know of. And I've been following these things since Eisenhower's time. Australia, I mean, I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, we all know the Australians are rough, tough, rugged, likable people, sort of Crocodile Dundees at heart, you know. They get out there in the outback or the Great Barrier Reef or wherever they are, and they're strong, solid men and strong, solid, attractive women. But how on earth, all of a sudden, if you put up something on Twitter or wherever it was, you get called upon at your home by the police for inciting disorder because you've just invited people to exercise the right of assembly to object to an arbitrary measure. I just can't imagine it happening in Australia. It's not the Australia I know. And the one thing that I would extract some hope for is Boris, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson of the UK. He got them out of Brexit, and now 70% in the polls of the British say they're glad they're out of Brexit, out of Europe. He got Brexit done. I mean, he got through the crisis.
Yes, he made it happen. He actually, will of the British people, 17 million who voted to leave the European Union, the largest vote of its kind in the history of the UK, is truly remarkable. However, what he said today with regards to Afghanistan may shock some of our viewers. We'll share that with you momentarily. We're talking to the author of A Matter of Principle, a superb autobiography, also A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black and subscribe to his podcast, Scholars and Sense, along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Warner Brothers Pictures presents Cry Macho. From the legend, director, actor Clint Eastwood, comes a story of being lost and found. Clint Eastwood returns as a one-time rodeo star and washed-up horse breeder who takes a job to bring back a man's young son from Mexico. The unlikely pair face an unexpectedly challenging journey. The only road home is through redemption. See it in theaters and on HBO Max this month. Now playing rated PG-13. Go see Clint's new movie, Cry Macho, in theaters or HBO Max, but just for this month alone. We are back. He's given a speech at the United Nations. It was incredibly boring, but we have to discuss the ramifications for the national security environment, and who better to discuss it with than our good friend. He is the author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Seb.
I want to ask you a question that one of my fellow hosts on Salem, the great Jennifer Horn, said, and it could apply to any aspect of the last 9 months, to health policy, the border, and especially foreign affairs. And this is why I'm going to ask you with regards to China. If you wanted to undermine our relations, if you wanted to weaken America and make our enemies stronger, is there anything you'd do differently from what Biden has done in the last 9 months? Let's just focus in on your area of profound expertise, China. Is there anything you would do better apart from, I don't know, texting China our launch codes, Gordon?
Yeah, well, that's probably what, that's something that could be done that he hasn't done yet. But clearly what he's done on China has been insufficient. And even when he's done some good things, Seb, he's done them extremely poorly. So, for instance, I like the idea of this tripartite security arrangement among the UK, US, and Australia.
Yes.
It's a good vision. But the implementation was horrendous because now we have France withdrawing its ambassador from Washington. You know, Biden ran on the campaign that he would actually improve our relations with our allies, that he would work with coalitions, that he would build this group against China. But what he's done, and this has been across the board for those 9 months, he's actually made our relations with our allies worse, with very few exceptions.
Yeah, it is shocking. I mean, you've never been a president of the United States. I haven't. I can't be constitutionally because I wasn't born here. I served in the White House. But is there anybody above the age of 18 who realizes that when you're making promises to our oldest ally like France, if you unilaterally break that promise, this is with regards to diesel submarines, and don't even tell them in advance that there will be consequences. It seems kind of obvious. Am I missing something, Gordon?
You're not missing anything. And, you know, on this not consulting allies, I mean, he didn't return the phone calls from Boris Johnson pleading, who wanted to plead with the United States to get its people out of Afghanistan. Also, first day in office, Biden, who said, look, I want to consult with my allies. What he did was he canceled Keystone XL pipeline, which really enraged the Canadians. I mean, it takes a lot to get Ottawa mad at the United States, but Biden actually did it in the first hours in office. So, you know, this by his own standard of developing strong relations with our traditional friends and allies, Biden has failed. I mean, he's just failed miserably.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes left with you. Follow this man. Go to his webpage, GordonChang.com. Follow him on Twitter, Gordon G. Chang. The book, it's a wonderful quick read. It's a monograph, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. I just have to play one cut to you. This is from 6 years ago when Mark Milley wasn't yet chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He was chief of staff of the Army, and this was actually a NATO summit. He was talking publicly in uniform, and this must shock you. Cut 12.
China's not an enemy, and I think that's important for people to clearly understand. China is a rising power. China has been a rising power since Deng Xiaoping in 79.
China is not an enemy. Gordon, you read what they say. Does China think we are their enemy?
Well, they certainly do. You know, in 2019, People's Daily declared a quote-unquote people's war on the U.S., I don't know how you get clearer than that. Also, on the 29th of last month, People's Daily actually accused the U.S. of quote-unquote barbaric acts. And this was after a string of very vicious propaganda last month. So China's laying the groundwork, basically justification to attack the U.S. And, you know, Milley needs to understand this. He should stop calling General Li Xiaochang And he should actually start defending the U.S. because we could very well find ourselves at the sharp end of the stick from China in the very next days or so.
How does the Chinese equivalent of the general staff react when our chairman of the Joint Chiefs, allegedly, and he hasn't denied it, calls them up, calls up General Lee's counterpart, and says, don't worry, if President Trump ever wants to attack China, I'll give you a heads up. What does Beijing think of General Milley and the Pentagon, Gordon?
Well, the Chinese already thought that the U.S. is in political disarray and in terminal decline, and Milley's phone call must have reinforced that notion, which makes the Chinese even more arrogant and more belligerent because they think that the U.S. won't defend our traditional allies and friends. So Milley made the world far less safe with that call, and he certainly made the U.S. far less safe.
The perfect, the consummate guest, regular, not just here on America First, but also on my weekly show on Newsmax. Check it out. It's the Gorka Reality Check every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, repeated at 10 p.m. Eastern. If you don't have Newsmax on your cable supply, go and download the app right now. It's free, and don't miss it every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, repeat 10 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, follow this man on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang, gordonchang.com, and read his wonderful latest work. It's The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Thank you, Gordon. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Thank you, Gordon. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Okay, first things first. You don't want to miss the next hour. One of the best minds in the UK, an amazing truth teller, an author, the author of The Strange Death of Europe, and most recently, The Madness of Crowds, will be with us for a whole hour. That's Douglas Murray. If you're somewhere where you don't get to hear the last hour, tell the radio station to get the last hour programmed. And in the meantime, subscribe to our one-on-one podcast where you can hear all of them. President Trump, Douglas Murray, all of our special guests and friends. Just look for America First One-on-One. Subscribe today. That's America First One-on-One. Okay. Before we get to Douglas, you know me, I like social media. A little bit too much. But sometimes you find something that is just really important. Speaks to the heart of what we are fighting for in America. And this video, it's just a minute long, is one of those artifacts. It's from an American woman, lovely lady, who's deaf. Despite her deafness, she speaks very well. She's overcome her deafness. But she needs to see people's faces to read their lips so she can actually understand what they're saying because she can't hear. And she went sadly into a Dunkin' Donuts. She's an Uber driver. And they treated her in a way that nobody in America should be treated. This is her story. Cut 13.
I called this girl over. Told her I was deaf. I have to read her lips. She didn't take her mask off. She goes to the manager, and I'm an Uber driver, so I got a ride, and I was like, hey, I have to order my drink, I have to go. The manager comes over, and I could just tell by his body language, his face, he was going off, and kept doing this, and I kept saying, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I need to lip read. He refused to write anything down. He refused to pull his mask down. We're 6 feet apart through the plexiglass to the side. I'm wearing my mask. Like, what more do you want from us? We struggle so much during this pandemic. Enough is enough. People don't believe I'm deaf, and I could sense and feel from him that he couldn't believe me. He didn't believe me. He didn't believe I was deaf because I speak so well. It's a blessing and a curse.
It has to stop. I've had enough. I've never been brought to tears by it like she has. Because I'm not deaf. But I refuse to wear a mask. And I'm not going to get vaccinated. You're going to have to arrest me, cuff me, strap me down. Stand up. Stand up to the fascists. No American should have to suffer like that. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.